Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Awesome. It is really lekker for me. It's not another word for that, nee. Really lekker for me to be able to just ask the Lord what He lays on my heart and come to pray and come to share that with you this morning. It was a really great time where we worked through Timothy and Titus for about 2 years. So the verses were, you know, set before. And it was great. I think it learned us a lot. But this morning was quite the same in a sense that God surprised me, but also nice so that I can choose what he should surprise me with. So we're reading a verses we might know. Everyone might know this, maybe not, but we'll read it obviously in any case. But it's about the Good Samaritan. If you've heard the story of the Good Samaritan, and it's a beautiful story. Like, I think there's this story of a young boy that comes to his mother, and he was at children's church, and they did the Good Samaritan. And she asked him, what did they learn today? No, he said, the Good Samaritan. And she said, okay, what's it about? And he said, no, it's to help our neighbor or to help those in need. And I want to say, yeah, definitely. But that is not the theme of the Good Samaritan, which is really interesting, because I thought, you know, God showed me this text and I was like, okay, it's going to be great. We're going to speak about, you know, helping one another and loving one another. And it was a surprise for me. So it is a bit different. There is some part of that in this, and definitely that is also true. We need to love one another and help one another. But that is not the crux of the story. And I want you to imagine this. This is how this story starts. We're going to read it now. But it starts off with a lawyer that comes to Jesus. Who of you know what a lawyer in those days were? So a lawyer is not a procureur. It's not someone who makes cases and defends his client in court. It is someone who studies the law, okay, who studied in those days the Shema, or the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, and they were experts. And this was probably a well-known guy, and he knew the law very well. So they were also part of, you know, of the Pharisees often, or the priests working in the temples. I don't know what this guy specifically does, but he was very well known with the law. And I want you to paint this picture. There's a big crowd, Jesus sharing with them. And there's this guy who stands up, a prideful guy. It says also that he came to test Jesus. What is it to test someone? It is to try to expose. He almost thought of Jesus as this, you know, young boy. Basically, and he wants to teach Jesus a lesson, because he is the master. He is the lawyer in the, you know, in the law. He knows the law well. So he's coming not to obey, but to debate. Okay, and he asks a really good question though. He does not answer it to know the answer. He asks to expose. He wants Jesus to answer him, and he's ready to give Jesus, he wants to expose Jesus' answer by comparing it to the law and saying that Jesus is wrong. But obviously, Jesus is bringing something new. They don't know that well. He's obviously bringing the new covenant. And he asks this question: what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Wow, that's a good question though. But it's only a good question when I'm sincerely want to know the answer. Amen. When I do not want to know the answer and I think that I know, I'm proudful. Né? I'm a prideful person. And whatever the teacher will teach me, I won't really listen because I think I already know the answer. And maybe today, I think it's a good question to ask, how is my heart? You know, we've all found ourselves at different places in our lives. And so often we are prideful of things we know. Even myself. Now we don't want to really hear what God says to me. And this morning, I want to ask you, like, do you want to know the answers? Because that is what Jesus wants for us. We're going to read a few passages before this passage as well, where it says that, you know, it's about God that he hides the truths from people that are not teachable. Okay, he hides those truths because we already think we know. So this is a really important question. So I want us to really focus, because we will answer that question. How do I inherit eternal life? And it's a more important question than who to marry. You know, what job should I pursue? Where should I stay? What's my calling? It's the most important question you may ask yourself. And today it's really important as a Christian to listen well, so that you can obviously apply, you may go to heaven, but secondly, to go and teach others. But be careful for falling in this trap, of the lawyer's trap, now, of thinking that you already know. Make sure that you know the answer and that you apply this answer. This answer can only be applied with a lot of humility. It cannot be applied with a prideful heart. Okay, so let's jump into this, and I may stop here and there to just highlight a point or so. But it's Luke 10 from verse 25 to 37. And it starts like this. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? Really, really important what Jesus answers. We'll look at his answers as well today. But this is really good. Obviously, it's our Lord. He's really good. But he asks him, you know, in your law, what is written in that law that you study? How do you read it? And he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So I just want to stop here and just say something. This lawyer has said this 1,000 times in his life. This is part of the Shema. They say, this is our Lord, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and all your strength. And that is something that they say all the time. So Jesus asks him a really easy question. He answered it with very much confidence, because he knows this answer. And Jesus says this to him. He says to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. And then it says, But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Why do you think would he want to justify himself if he learned this to people? He's said this many times in many ways. And as soon as someone tells him, Okay, go do it, he feels that he needs to justify himself. After saying it 1,000 times, more than 1,000. And maybe it's good for us to think about things that we have done over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden Jesus asks us, Okay, go do it. Now you want to justify yourself. Why? We're going to look at why. Okay, but he justifies himself and he asks, Okay, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied with this story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to that place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave him to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever you may spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said to Jesus, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Jesus says again, go and do. This lawyer came to expose Jesus. So he had this prideful heart. But Jesus saw through him. Amen. He knew what was his business. And he put him on his place in some sense. This was a tense atmosphere. You know, when this guy stood up and asked Jesus this question, everyone knew, yeah, it's coming. Because they didn't think much of Jesus. They think he was an uneducated guy, and this educated man is going to ask a question now. And then the whole story reversed a bit. And we see that Jesus exposed him. I want to read us this few verses just before Luke 25. It's Luke 10, verse 21 and 22, and that's part of the context. It reads this, in that same hour, Jesus, now he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things you've been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. We won't back out this. This is a really full piece of scripture as well. But we see there in verse 21, it says that he has hidden these things from the wise. That's interesting. What is that? What is wise? What is hidden things? Hidden things is the things of the kingdom, the truth of salvation. And then the wise, it's the prideful. But he revealed it to little children. What's little children? That's the humble. That's the ones who are teachable. That's the ones who wants to listen. Have you ever found yourself, someone teaching you or saying something to you and you're like, who's it? Prideful. Prideful. Yes. Sometimes people say things to us, the right things, in the wrong ways, and it may hurt, but it stays the right thing. I mean, it stays the truth. And it's important that we're always teachable. Doesn't matter who it is. It's so difficult to listen to someone that you think does not do things right. If you feel like there's someone, you know, that guy, he's a hypocrite, and now he comes to tell you something, it's difficult to be teachable, right? But it may be the truth. It may lead you to sanctification. Amen? It may make you more holy. So this wise and understanding is not about intellectual capacity. It's about a spiritual posture. How teachable am I? Amen? And we see that the Samaritan, he had no degree. He had no scholarship. But he's the hero of the story because he had compassion. He helped. So there's 2 questions we'll answer. The first one, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the second one, who is my neighbor? And we'll look at those 2 things. And as we jump into the first one, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want you to look at how Jesus responds. He responds in a way, you know, in this setting, he was the uneducated, but he responds as if he's the master. He says, you're correct. Go and do that. He gives him an order. He's not saying, okay, yeah, and you know all, you know everything, and you're sure you are right. No, he's saying, that's right. Go and do it. Because he is the Messiah. He is the King. And there's a massive temptation, I think, for us as teachers often to answer questions when we are asked questions. You know, Jesus had the opportunity to answer this question in real depth, go into the doctrine and expose this guy, but he didn't. He asked him a simple question and he said to him, go and do that. And I'll tell you why a bit later. But first, what does Jesus do? He goes back to the law. I mean, he asks him, what is in the law? He also speaks, when he speaks with his disciples in Matthew 23, he speaks of these people, of the Pharisees. He says, go and listen to what they say, but do not do what they do, because they are hypocrites. Yeah. He warns his disciples against them. But when Jesus asks what is written in the law, he's speaking of Leviticus 18 verse 5, which says, God says in the Old Testament, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. And what Jesus is saying to this guy is, go and do them. He's saying that you cannot only try to do them, you should do them perfectly. Amen? That's your law? Yes, go and do that. But he says, he not only says keep the law, he says keep it perfectly. That's how you obtain salvation. That's how you inherit eternal life, by keeping the law perfectly. I want to ask you a question. Can we do that? No, we cannot do that. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. How do we then get it? We'll get to that. Galatians 3 verse 10 says, Paul says to the Galatians, for all who rely on works of the law are under curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. This is important. If you need to explain to someone the gospel, this is important to tell. It's important to tell them that if they want to do it by works, they have a problem, a big problem, because they cannot. How often do we go and we, you know, feel a way about our Christianity because we compare with someone else? We feel a way. We're like, oh, I do well, you know, because I'm better than Pity. Pity doesn't do this and that. But how often do I go and compare myself with the law of God? I shouldn't feel that good then. Because since this morning, I have not obeyed the law perfectly. And luckily for us, there's an amazing solution. This is the problem. So Jesus is stating the problem, and as this guy is getting uncomfortable, he's probably breaking a sweat, this lawyer. He asks Jesus, okay, who's my neighbor? Maybe I do better in that. Because I definitely do not fulfill the first part, right? Maybe I'm better at loving my neighbor. So let's hear. I want to read us Ephesians 2. It's part of this problem. It's not on the board, but you may have heard it. It says, for by grace we have been saved. Grace is something we cannot deserve. Okay, it's a gift from God. It says, for by grace we have been saved through what? Through faith. Through faith. Do you believe in the work? There's a belief that does not save, which is a no. I know of Jesus. And there's a belief that saves. And often in today's terms, these two things are switched around. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for those who believe in him may inherit eternal life. We have a distorted view of belief in Jesus. Do you really believe in Jesus? Because there's a few things that will flow from that belief. There's works that will flow from that belief. We've spoken a bit, it's maybe going to sound a bit technical, but we've spoken a lot about creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. In creation, Adam and Eve was created. There was a fall. They sinned, they entered sin. Sin entered the world. We have been redeemed through Jesus, and one day he will come back. That's what it's about. There's another way of explaining it, which says we have a problem. It's where we are now. We have sin. We are in sin. There's a solution. There's a response. I need to respond to Jesus. That's the faith part. And then there's an effect. I will look different. I want to ask you, where do you fit in this part? And I want to ask you this question, which is a very simple question, but it's a really important question that you answer it correctly, but it because it will determine your eternal life. It says, if you die, where are you going and why? So not only where are you going, but also why. Can you explain why are you going there? There was someone in my house a while ago, and I asked them this question, and they said, no, they don't think they're going to heaven. I was like, thanks for your honesty. Why? No, because I don't go to church anymore, and I don't read my Bible anymore. I said, luckily your why is wrong, because that's not the reason why we go to heaven or hell. So some other sincere Christians tell me I go to heaven. And I asked them why. No, because I do well. I go to church. I do read my Bible. I say, oh, also wrong. Wrong reason. Okay, this is important. What is the reason? The reason should always be because Jesus. Okay, because of Jesus, he died for me on the cross. And that's it. Nothing else. Out of that relationship with him, by being saved, the Holy Spirit enters us and he enables us to do good. Amen. He enables us to do good works. Nothing from ourselves. The Bible even says that if you try to do good yourself, it's like filthy rags for Jesus. It leads to nothing. That's why Matthew 6 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything will be added. It's about him. It's about following him. It's about obeying him. It's not about myself. Even if I try my best, it will always lead to nothing. Nothing that will last. It's always Jesus. That brings us to our first point. And it is knowing the truth is different than living the truth. Amen. Where are you this morning? Are you a knowing or are you a living? A living stone. Or do you only know about this Jesus guy? Yeah, I know about him. I want to ask you today, won't you just give your life to him? That leads to eternal life. Jesus speaks to Nicodemus in John 3. He says to him, if you want to be entering the kingdom of heaven, you have to be born again. He speaks of having a new spirit. Amen. He says, I will remove your heart of stone. I will give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36. Something that God does together with us, following him. This change, Vian also said somewhere, if we are dead. Yeah, we are dead in sin. We are not born Christians. Okay? It's really important. We have to be saved. And we know, you should know, when your deadness becomes aliveness. Okay? So I want to ask you, when did that happen in your life? When did you become alive? Because if not, then today is a good day. I mean, it's a good day to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. Even if you feel like maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you feel like, shucks. I just forget the goodness. I just forget his grace. I just forget. I just can't seem to do any good. I'm self-seeking. I struggle to have good relationships. Maybe that's how you feel today. And then I also want to give you the opportunity to turn back to Jesus this morning. And I'll make a time for that at the end. But where are you maybe negotiating with God? Maybe even sacrificing things but not obeying. The word says that to obey is better than sacrifice. I mean, so God wants our obedience. And this change in heart, it results in good works. And then we come to the Good Samaritan. To good works that flows out of this. So let's look at the second question. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, when this lawyer seemed to see, you know, this theology of mine won't work. You know, I cannot fulfill this heavy burden of the law perfectly. He went to the neighbor part. Like, maybe I'm doing better at my neighbor. And Jesus tells him the story. And Jesus starts off with this story with a Levite and a priest. They were Jewish elite people. They were good people, like a modern pastor today that's famous, or a televangelist that should do good. And when this lawyer listens to him and he hears that this priest and this Levite is passing, but the Samaritan stops, his world, I wanted to see his expression on his face. They hated the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans. They did not like the Samaritans. They were half-breeds, half-Jewish, and they were just in the way. The only good Samaritan, according to Jewish people, was a dead one. There were no good Samaritans. And Jesus is exposing this lie, saying that this is your neighbor. This should be your neighbor. And maybe this morning I want to ask you, who's those people that you really don't like? Nah, it's not easy. Even our culture today makes it difficult. The way you were raised, it's time to deal with it. Jesus says that is your neighbor, you should love them. The issue is a heart issue. It's not another issue, it's a heart issue. I should come to Jesus with my heart, with my broken heart. You know, even the way that we are raised could have been wrong. Is there people that you feel like you won't help them? Because this is what Jesus said to this guy. The Samaritan was the good guy. He was the hero. And I think this lawyer found it hard to believe. But I think he learned something this day. And hopefully that led to salvation. But we see that the Samaritan is the one who what? What was the difference between the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan? The Samaritan showed compassion. That's beautiful. There's a few verses, I don't have it now, but it speaks of the love of Jesus leads us to compassion. We can love one another through Jesus. We can only love people when we love Jesus. This last week has been amazing for me going through this. I thought we're going to speak about loving one another. And Jesus took me back to how do I inherit eternal life. I came back to his feet. I had more love for people because it flows from him. It flows from him. We cannot hate people if we love Jesus, if we understand the grace by which we were saved. If you understand the problem you had, you will love Jesus. If someone had to give you a great gift today, maybe they gave you a nice car. They dropped you the keys of a Hilux. They just, man, I love you. You're great. And tomorrow we're going to braai as well. And they leave. You would like to know who that is. Now, Jesus has given us a way more bigger gift. So if you don't want a relationship with him, you don't understand the problem you had. You don't understand the gift that he has given you. It is really important to remember that if it was not for Jesus, we would be going to hell. If you die today, which can be now in your seat, you would go to hell. It's really important to remember this. To say, Jesus, I realize what you did for me, and therefore I want to give you my life. You see, if we see salvation by abiding in a law, it's difficult to have compassion with people because I'm self-seeking. It's about myself. I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this perfectly. I need to, even in today's terms, I need to go to church, I need to love my wife, I need to do this. If I see it as a tick box, it's difficult to truly love. It's difficult to truly live out the gospel. That's our theme today, living the gospel. But when I love Jesus, when it's from a heart of I remember His grace on my life, it's easy for me to have compassion. It's easy for me to love those. It ties on with last week as well, you know, spending time at His feet, remembering His grace, remembering His cross, remembering that it was me that should have been on that cross. But He died for me. Simple, simple Christianity. It's the simple gospel. But we miss it. So often we miss it. We're busy, busy, busy. Want to do good things. There's a song that also says, please, God's saying, please slow down. All the things you are doing, it's sweet and it's nice, but please slow down. This, I think the song is, slow down, please. Maybe go and listen it, it's great. But lastly today, I want us to just look at the brilliantness of Jesus evangelizing to someone. So Jesus is very specific in His ways of evangelizing. And yes, He does it different. You know, when He speaks to the young rich man, He does not tell him what is written in the law. He tells him, go and sell all your things. To the lawyer, He tells what is written in the law. You see, twice Jesus was asked a question this morning. Twice He asked the question back, and both times He says, go and do them. Wow, that's interesting. Why does He give the lawyer who focuses on doing things right? Why does he give him things to do? Interesting. So that this lawyer may realize that this won't save me. So that the lawyer understands the problem which he has. If we don't understand the problem, as I said earlier, we won't look for the solution. Amen. If you think that you already have the solution, you won't be looking for it. If your car is full of fuel, you won't be looking for a garage. Nee? If your car is empty and that light comes on, you need to go to a garage. You have a problem. Otherwise, you're going to stop. It's important. You need to realize the problem. So when we evangelize, we need to help people understand the problem which they have. This morning for you as well. Do you understand the problem you have? Even by recommitting to Jesus, we need to know that we need Him. We need to know that we have a problem. Our lives will fall to pieces if it's not based on Jesus. Maybe it won't look like it. You'll still go to work. You'll still come back. Spiritually dead leads to hell. Without Jesus, we are dead. So interesting, when I read this passage the first time, I almost felt I should help Jesus evangelize. I was like, Jesus, just tell him it's you. He asks, how do I inherit eternal life? Just tell him, it's me. Believe in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Father except through me. Why doesn't Jesus say that? He had all the right to do that. Because Jesus knows His heart. Jesus knows how to respond to specific people in specific ways. He also knows how to deal with you. And I want to ask you this morning, what is He saying to you this morning? He's saying something to you. He's never leaving us. Go listen to that song, Waymaker. Even if we don't know it, He's working. Even if we don't see it, He's working. He's busy sanctifying you this morning. And if you feel like He's saying nothing to me, there may be a pride issue. Amen. There's something the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this morning. Whether it's recommitting, whether it's for salvation, whether it's a small thing, by just repenting of it. Carl read that verse this morning, which says that the heavens are celebrating when we repent. It's amazing. It's a graceful thing to repent. Don't see it as a burden. Ugh, I have to say I don't love my wife again, or I have to do this again. It's a graceful thing. Let's do it. Don't just sit there. Repent. Let's grab hold of Jesus. Let's live this life fully. That brings us to our second point this morning. It says religion without works is hypocrisy. If you feel that you have a faith, or you are believing in Jesus, but it's just without works, you're just going to work, coming to church, going to small group, coming back, there's not something that's alive. It means that you're living a life of hypocrisy. Jesus is calling you back to the heart of his heart. He's calling you back to him. He's calling you back to his feet. He wants you to love this. He created us and he came to die for us to have a life of abundance. A beautiful life in him, rooted in him. And this is the truth. James 2 verse 26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." It does not mean that I should go and try harder today, but it does mean that I should go home and abide in Jesus more, because that produces the good works. That same chapter in James 2 says, even the demons believe and they shudder. They're not going to heaven. They also know, don't be like that. Matthew 7, it's quite hard. It says, you will say to me one day, you have raised up people from the dead. You've casted out demons in my name, but I will say, I do not know you. Do you know him? Okay, this is important for us this morning, but I want to encourage you to remember these things when you speak to people as well, when you want to evangelize outside in the world. But first and foremost, for yourself. Okay, this morning for yourself, the Holy Spirit has something to say to you. Don't go and try harder, but abide more in Jesus and in his perfect work on the cross. Remembering that that cross was supposed to be me. I was supposed to die on the cross. So there's two points at the end of this, which I want us to just have a look at. The first one, do you remember Jesus as your first love? And maybe I want to add a question to that and just say, if you have never had Jesus as your first life, love, it's time to make the decision. There's a better way, and it's the Jesus way. Amen. And secondly, do you find it difficult to be other-regarding and not self-seeking? You see, what the devil does when we become passive is we become self-seekers. Romans 2 says that the wrath will be on those people. The wrath of God will be those who self-seeks. Don't be self-seeking. Even Jesus himself says, I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve others. I came to love others. And he uses this radical picture of the Samaritan. That is the people who we should love. Those who's really difficult to love. We need to love those. And while this is not maybe the point of the parable, but it's, we should still recognize that what that good Samaritan did that day is what Jesus did for us. He came saving us. We were next to the road, bleeding out. We were going to die. And he saved us. And remember, the main point of this is that we cannot possibly fulfill the law on our own, but luckily, there's a guy 2,000 years ago now, who lived a perfect life, who fulfilled the law perfectly, who died for me and you. If you believe in him with a saving faith, not only a opgemaakte faith, nie. We can put Jesus in our rooms on a poster. You can say, I know that guy, he's a lekker guy. And our lives can look fraught. It can be full of death and destruction. I want you to think about that this morning. Is your faith truly in Jesus?
Is your life committed to Jesus? Everything you do. We should be praying about everything. We should be thinking, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Not me, not me. Not the salary, not my wife. Yes, those things will come if we love Jesus. Those things will come. Seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and everything will be added. But so often we do it the other way around. We're like, I need to seek first all these things, and then yeah, we'll look at Jesus as well. It's the wrong way around. So this morning, I wanted to just look at these 2 points. If you want to just turn back your heart to Jesus, maybe you've never made that decision. You don't have to pray a prayer after me and then you will glow and be saved. That's not how it works. That decision comes from your heart. Only God knows your heart. You can say that prayer after me 100 times. It won't help. You must be sincere in telling God, I want to follow you. And it must look away. I must look different. I must become alive. Amen. Is that you today? So I just want you to just stay where you sit. Even if you feel like, oh, Lord, there's so many things. Let's just close our eyes. Lord, there's just so many things that's gone wrong in my life the last bit. I'm just struggling to do good works. I turn back to you, Jesus. I turn back to you. Maybe you've never made that decision. Won't you just make that decision there where you are? Just say, Jesus, I want to follow you. You are the answer. You are the King. And many times I've failed to follow you as I should, but I want to follow you. I want to do my best to follow you as I should. I want to love my children. I want to love my spouse. I want to tell people of you, Jesus. I want to evangelize for you. It must change your heart because of this amazing gift that you have received. If someone gives you a Hilux, don't you want to give that to other people as well? Yes, Jesus wants to give every one of us that gift.